You know, Jesus said, to whom much is forgiven, the same loveth much. How many here have been forgiven much? Amen. And so we love Jesus much. You know, some folks just don't know that they need Jesus that much. How many know it's not based upon our righteousness, our goodness? It's not even based upon our theology or how much knowledge of the Word we have. The real question is that Word in you? Has that Word become flesh in you? In other words, has the message about Jesus become real in you? Has Christ in you? You see, God gives us His Word to point us to a person, not so we can win a theological debate. Can you say amen?
Amen.
If you don't have Jesus, I ask people, do you love Jesus or are you a Christian? They'll say, yeah, I'm a Catholic or I'm a Methodist or I'm a Assembly of God. I didn't ask you that. Are you a Christian? A Christian is a follower of Jesus. We want to put labels on things. Well, I was baptized when I was 4 years old and or I got sprinkled when I was a baby. Well, how'd that work for you? How's your life been? Jesus said you must be born again. When you're born again, you become a new creation. You can't help but praise Him. Hallelujah. Your life will express who lives within you. Hallelujah. If He's in you, the Bible says that God will send the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. And what will the Spirit do? He'll cry out, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. God wants us to experience Him. Did you know that? It's not enough to learn about Him. It's so that we may come to know Him. This is eternal life, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. They may know Him. Do we know God is the question. Yeah. Jesus said, My sheep hear My voice, and they follow Me. And I give unto them what? Eternal life. Hallelujah. He says, I know them. They follow Me. Hallelujah. So we want to be followers of Jesus. Amen. Not followers of a denomination or a creed. Unless that creed, amen, is your experience. You got to get from the logos, the written word, to the living word. And when the living word gets a hold of you, amen. So a lot of people say, well, I've gone through the word. The question is, has the word gone through you? Are you in, is the word in you? Hallelujah. Producing life. How many know the Pharisees knew the word better than anybody in that day? And they were talking about the Messiah. The Messiah would come. And so Jesus shows up and the Messiah is standing right in front of them and they didn't even recognize who He was. Do you understand? You cannot know Him except by the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit will reveal Jesus to us. So they learned all about, they could quote Scripture. How many know they memorized the first five books of the Bible? So they knew the Pentateuch or whatever it was, the Torah. Some would call it the Torah. But they didn't have the substance, which was Christ. The same thing happens today where people are ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. You can ever be learning, educating, listening to CDs, going to seminars, going through all the classes that you can find and not actually know Jesus. Isn't that amazing? You can grow up in church, you can memorize Bible verses, you can get the gold star for attendance and yet never know Jesus. It's really not about what I can accomplish. It's what He's accomplished for me. And me as a really a poor beggar that's in need of grace and mercy. And I just throw myself down at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm not all that. Because let's remember that whatever we have, we received. Think about it. What is it that you have that you didn't receive? How many of us decided before we were born that we were going to look a certain way? We were going to have a certain voice? We would have certain abilities and talents? None of us had that say, did we? God determined that for us. God knew who we were before we were born. And God created us, didn't He? Even in the womb, it says that we were knit together in the womb. But He knew us beforehand. And Jesus said, you know, that which is flesh, but that which is spirit. So it's not enough just to be born naturally. See, religion has taught us to achieve things by our own efforts. All the religions of the world have that common denominator. It's all about achieving through your own personal efforts. Of somehow achieving a place, and some call it nirvana, or a place of righteousness, or a place of goodness. If I just work at it a little harder, try a little harder to be good, one of these days I'll arrive at being good. How has that worked for you? Does God want us to be good?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So how do I become good? Well, I become good by Him who is good. He makes me good. He produces in me goodness. He produces in me righteousness. He produces in me holiness. It's not of me. Get over yourself. Amen? Comparing and competing. Splitting theological hairs. The real question is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been born of His Spirit? Is Christ in you the hope of glory? If Christ is in you, then your life will be a reflection of Christ. Make no mistake about this. There will be the fruit, the evidence of Christ in you. A hypocrite can act like a Christian. A hypocrite can go to church, study the Bible, be faithful in attendance, impress everybody with their knowledge. But a hypocrite is nothing more than an actor. And Jesus doesn't want us to try to act like Him. He wants us to become like Him through the work of grace that God produces in our hearts, through the hearing of the Word mixed with faith, the Spirit and the Word working together, producing God's holy character in us. And if you are filled with Jesus, your life will be about Jesus. Come on, somebody. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, well, the Holy Spirit's always pointing to Jesus, not self. Oh, God, help us to understand that we all come to You the same way. And that is with nothing. Nothing to give except a broken, sinful vessel. We all have to come the same way by way of the cross, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And by the mercy of God, we are saved. It is not of ourselves. And if you are in Christ, your life will reflect that. There will be the evidence of that. Understand how many have learned in life to pose? You know what I'm talking about? We've learned how to act a certain way when we've grown up. We've grown up around kids that, well, I wanted to fit into this group. And when I'm with that group, I wanted to fit into that group. You know, and so we learned, many of us learned how to be chameleons just to kind of assimilate into whatever has happened to go on at the time, because nobody wants to be the reject. Nobody wants to be the ugly duckling. So I got to try to conform to whatever the crowd or whatever the people around me are doing, or whatever's popular, or whatever's politically correct nowadays. Amen. And what it is if you don't know who you are and your true identity, then you will try to find your identity in others around you. By joining this club, being a member of this or that, Well, I'm a member. Are you a member of Christ's body is the question. Not as your name on a roll, but as your name on the roll in heaven. I'm all for church membership as simply a commitment saying we're going to join. We're going to join together in covenantal love here to work together as a team for the glory of God, for the will of Jesus. Amen. So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I just thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I love the truth. Do you know if the truth makes you angry, it means that you need to die to yourself. You know, you've heard it said, if you throw a rock into a pack of wild dogs, the one you hit will yelp the loudest. Well, I'm not going back to that place. I don't know about you, but I like to hear the truth because the truth is the only thing that sets me free and keeps me free. Amen. People didn't like to hear the truth from Jesus. They crucified him. They didn't like to hear the truth from Stephen. They stoned him. Amen. And I just heard recently an entire village was overrun by ISIS, a Christian village over in Iraq. And they carried them all off and they're slaughtering and crucifying children. All over the world, thousands and thousands and thousands of believers are being martyred for the name of Jesus Christ. When's the last time you heard any of that in the mainstream media? You don't hear it. Silence. I wonder why. Could it be that we have a real adversary? And of course, it's not flesh and blood. It's the devil. Hallelujah. But the bottom line is, if Christ is for us, who can be against us? Paul said, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. To live is Christ. How many are really living now? I mean, you're really living now in the Lord. Hallelujah. Man, in the world, I was like, thought I was really living. Till the next morning. Man, we really had a great one last night. I know that was TMI, right? Okay. We're living now. Our life is in Him. Hallelujah. There's celebration in His presence. The Bible says, rejoice how often?
Always.
All right. Does God want joyful Christians? Amen. Hallelujah. We need to be contagious Christians. We don't want to just be on IV drip. We want to be overflowing Christians. Amen. So that when people are around us, that they know there's something going on. Amen. That Jesus is with us. How many know that the disciples were not known because of their theological degrees? But they took note of them because they had been with Jesus. And that's what we need to know. Amen. We study theology so that we can know who the true God is. Amen. But it's not enough just to get the information. It has to translate into life. Amen. And we have to receive that one we're talking about. The one we're reading about. So we want to get the Word in us. Hallelujah. Christ in you. We need to come to a saving knowledge of the truth. Now, I want to continue to move forward with this message. Last week it was called Moving Forward, and so this is Moving Forward Part 2. God wants us to move with Him. Our lives are to be led by the Holy Spirit. We're to navigate by His guidance every day. If we stay close to the Lord and we move with Him, then we will bear fruit and the Father will be glorified. And so it is a matter of daily steps of obedience. It is a matter of daily coming to the Lord for bread. Amen. You feast on Him, on His presence. It's His presence that makes us whole. Okay. And how many know that, listen, God is an emotional God. How many have been reading your Bible? God is an emotional God. Okay. Emotions are not necessarily a sign that God is there. You can listen to the Star Spangled Banner and get goosebumps. Okay? But when God is in the house and God is moving on you, your emotions become a part of that as well. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So there's some people that think, oh, emotions are bad. We're supposed to be somber and joyless and expressionless. But actually, God, He gets angry. God is joyful. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that God anointed Jesus with the oil of joy, and this is in Hebrews, above all His brethren. So we're not serving a gloomy Jesus. Amen? The true Jesus is a joyful Jesus. And how many get excited when God moves upon you? Amen? He quickens you inside. You become animated for Him. Hallelujah. Revival means to return to life. Amen? So if I have not been in life for a while, I can get pretty stagnant and stale, kind of like a pond that just sat there, but there's been no movement. There's been no flow, no fresh flow of water coming in. Amen? God wants to flow again in our lives, in our hearts, to bring refreshing from His presence, to activate His people, motivate His people by His love flowing in and out of us. So we need God to move in our hearts again. Revive means to return, vive, to life. God wants His people revived. If somebody goes code blue or flatlined, what do? They take out those paddles, right? And they got to give them a good charge. Sometimes we need that. Can you say amen? We just need a good charge, amen, from the Holy Spirit to quicken us and revive us again and wake us up and say, how did I get here? How did I drift so far away from where I used to be and where I used to walk and how in love with Jesus I was? I need revival. I need to return to my first love. I need to come back. Say, Lord, I need You. I hunger. I thirst for You. Only You satisfy. Only You can breathe in me new life. Hallelujah. My life is not in this world. In the temporary pleasures of this world, they never satisfy. We figured that out, haven't we already? Temporal things and that can distract us and choke us so that we become unfruitful. Why? Because we're preoccupied. We're distracted by lesser things and we're not focusing on the eternal things. The mission, the will of God for our lives. The reason why we were created and placed here. That's what we're supposed to be focused on. The will of God. If we're the children of God, if we're the people of God, we've been called to separate ourselves unto the Lord. Amen. It doesn't mean going to some monastery up on a mountain somewhere. It means to be salt and light in this world for Jesus. Be world changers. You have a world changer on the inside of you if you're in Christ. The Lord wants to manifest Himself through you and I. One of our biggest enemies is self. And I know this goes counter grain to what our society is constantly trying to pump into us. Where society tells you, your problem is low self-esteem. Low self-esteem. Where in the Bible does it say that you're supposed to esteem yourself? How many know that if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, then He will lift you up? Let the Lord esteem you. Amen? Any other kind of esteem or boasting is of the flesh. It's of the world. Are you hearing me? And the world is saying, oh, your problem is you haven't been given enough kudos today. You know? No. You just need to get in your Father's presence. And your Father says, son, daughter, I'm proud of you. You're my beloved son. You're my beloved daughter. I'm pleased. Jesus didn't receive validation from man, but from the Father. And Jesus told us to follow Him in His example, to go likewise with boldness, with confidence to the throne of grace, our Father's throne. Amen. We receive our validation. Amen. Our kudos, if you will, from our Father. I find my confidence not in self anymore, but in Christ. He is my confidence. Your self-confidence will only get you so far until you make the next mistake or the next blunder. And then your self-confidence goes, pshhh. Are you hearing me? Why? Because of misdirected focus. Wrong focus. I need to set my affections on things above. Hebrews 3:12 says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Now he's speaking to who? Brethren. Who would that be? In departing from the living God, verse 13, "but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." The New Living Translation says in verse 13, "you must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God." We are living in what's now known to be the today of God. Today there is salvation. Today there is healing. Today there is deliverance. Amen? Today God is giving new life. Today God is pouring out His Spirit on all flesh. We're living in the today, in the dispensation of God's grace. Amen? But the day of God's grace will one day come to an end. And that will be the time of God's wrath and judgment against all those who refuse the love of the truth that they might be saved. Those who rejected Christ and His message. And so it says, "warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God." What does sin do? Sin is unbelief, right? But sin hardens us against God. Listen, all sin is selfishness. The root of sin is pride. Pride is a root of selfishness. Amen? The carnal or the natural man that we were born with. The Adamic nature that we were born with. So we are not to live out of that anymore, but we're supposed to live out of Christ now in the new creation, in the new life that He's given us. And it has to do with focus, where my focus is, what I'm actually looking at. If I'm focused on the carnal and earthly and temporal things, and that is my passion, and that is my desire, then I'll reap corruption. If I'm focused on the Lord, amen, then I reap everlasting life. I reap His grace. How many know that grace is not something that you conjure up in yourself? Grace is not me trying harder. Grace is me coming to a place where I know that I can't do it without Jesus, and I need His help every day, amen, to do what God has called me to do. God's call for your life, again, is bigger than you are. You are in yourself are not able to live for God the way you're supposed to. How many have realized that already? So we need the grace of God to do what God has called us to be and to do. Isn't that right? We need Him and not self. Now, if my focus is on my ability to be holy, I'm never holy. If I'm focused on my ability to be righteous, to do what's right, I'll never be right. Are you hearing me? If my focus is on my ability even to be faithful, I won't be faithful. Because it's not of me. It's not in me to be righteous. Our righteousness is Christ. Our holiness is Christ. Our goodness is Christ. Our faithfulness is Christ. Do you understand? We've got to get out of the driver's seat and understand that I am not capable, all right, of arriving at the destiny that God has for me apart from a partnership with Him. I have to be in partnership with the Lord Jesus Christ in order to fulfill the purpose of God for my life. It's not what I can produce in myself. Even the great apostle Paul said, in myself, that is in my flesh, I find no good thing. Huh. Everything that he had once put his trust and his faith in, all his education and all the accolades and the recognition of men, and he prided himself in how well he could live, at least in his own estimation, a godly life until he met Jesus Christ and he realized that I am a worm. And well, God turned the light on. I used to think everybody else was the problem in my life until I met Jesus. And all of a sudden, I started seeing myself in a way that I never saw before. And I want to tell you, it broke me. It broke me. I saw how selfish I was, really for the first time. How I was treating my family, my young family at the time, and how I hurt other people in my life. And how I was always blaming everybody else for my own problems until God showed me that I was the problem. You can't put new wine into an old wineskin. You got to have a new wineskin in order to contain the new life of Christ. You must be born again. A lot of people are living their life with self-help mentality, just adding patches to the old thing, getting some more information, going to another seminar, how to improve, the 5 ways to improve your life. Are you hearing me, somebody? You can improve upon the old. The old, it's like putting a suit on a corpse. I know that was graphic, but that's what it's like. The flesh, the old man, is dead in trespasses and sins. And you can't put a new garment on that. God says you need to receive a new heart. What you need is a new heart. I didn't realize that, but I understood then the old heart that I had was no good. And the covenant, the new covenant is this. God says, I'm going to go in and I'm going to remove that heart of stone. And I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. Meaning a pliable one that I can then work with. Are you hearing me? And that he was going to put his spirit within us. And we would then become children of God. And we would begin then to pray to our Father, our spiritual Father, our Heavenly Father. Amen. The Father of our spirits. Now, God was upset with Israel because they had witnessed so many miracles. How many know that miracles in themselves are just not enough? It is certainly not to ensure somebody's salvation. You can be around and even be a recipient of a miracle and yet not be saved. God is good. He's good to lost people. He's good to found people. He's just good. And God doesn't bless me because I'm so good. But God blesses me because he wants to make me good. Come on. He didn't bless me because I'm so righteous. He blesses me because he wants to make me righteous. Because it's not of me. He said in Hebrews 3 and verse 8, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness. Again, Israel had experienced the miracles of God. And yet they doubted his power. They doubted his faithfulness. They doubted his provision. They doubted that God was actually going to take care of them. They basically said, God, you're not going to take care of us. We don't believe that. Even after witnessing so many miracles, and you know the 10 major miracles of Egypt. They had witnessed those things, and yet when they found themselves in the wilderness, in that barren land, in a place they'd never been before, it was new to them. They had a mindset of being a slave, and God was trying to wean that out of them. Amen. He was taking them to a place where they'd be isolated from everything they knew and were familiar with because God wanted to teach them his ways. He wanted to lead them in his ways. He wanted to feed them his word. How many know the manna represents the Word of God? And they were to gather daily. And God wanted to show Himself on behalf of His people as a faithful shepherd, a lover of their souls. And God had given them a promise that there's going to be a land flowing with milk and honey. So you stay close. Whenever my presence moves, you move with me. When my presence settles, you settle. Learn how to navigate by my voice, and you will reach your destiny. God's trying to get our attention. He wants you and I to learn how to live by His voice, to live by His word. Amen? My sheep hear my voice. He says, your fathers tested me, verse 9. They tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Listen, I'm going to say this again because God can only take us forward when we're tired of being where we've been. Some people are content to rot in the wilderness. They just say, okay, I'll just sit here and die. I don't know about you, but wherever Jesus is, there's life. And I want to be with Jesus. I want to navigate. I want to walk with Jesus because wherever He is, there's life. Now, you can have Jesus in your house and you can ignore Him. You can have a guest in your home and not have fellowship with them. But if the Lord is in you, if Christ is in you, the Lord wants to be your best friend. He wants to teach you His ways. He wants to show you the destiny that He has for you. If you want to arrive where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there, the only way to do that is to listen carefully, daily, to the voice of God. It's not too late. We're in a race. We're running this race to win. Amen? And if you've fallen out of the race, if you've gotten complacent, if you've gotten apathetic, amen, it's a sign of unbelief. You've got to get back into the Lord. Amen? Because where He is faithfulness. We talk about faithful. Faith is not something I conjure up. Faith is a fruit of God. What I need is God's presence. You know what I'm talking about? We can sing about, talk about God all day long. But the real question is do you know God and are you experiencing Him in the reality of His person? Is your life bearing witness to the reality that Christ is in you? The fruit of Him being released through your life. As you abide in Him, you can then bear fruit. But apart from Him, we can do what? Nothing. You know, God hates unbelief. Why? Because it's saying, God, we don't trust you. Now, I want to give you, if you guys are okay with this, I want to give you a couple examples. And the first one is one I've already mentioned. Here, unbelief, okay, is centered in self. Unbelief is rooted in self-confidence. When I'm confident in myself, I'm not putting my confidence in God. And if my confidence not in God, then I don't have the grace of God in my life. I don't have it working in my life. So my focus can't be on my ability to be good, but I come to Jesus for goodness. Lord, change my heart. Transform this heart, God. Make my heart good. Make me righteous. Make me holy. Make me like you. I come into His presence to do that. You understand? It's not a far off thing learning about God continually. It's about God says, come to me. Okay, it's time to put application to what God says. Seek His face and you shall live. Seek Him. Oh, we live in a microwave society. Amen? We give God 5 minutes. And that's, man, I really suffered. I really had to deny myself for 5 minutes. Can we sit? Can we sit through a teaching for an hour and give ourselves to that? Forget about the roast. Amen. I hope you had a timer on, but yeah. So the way of self-confidence is not the way of the Lord. I know this is a challenge to the things that we've been taught probably all of our lives, haven't we? That it's your problem is a lack of self-confidence. Now, listen, this is how it works. When I'm confident in God, then God produces confidence in me that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. In other words, I can do what God said I can do. I can heal the sick by the ability that God supplies. It's not of me. I simply partner with God in obedience to His command to lay hands on the sick. Amen? And believe that God is with me, that God is working through me and through you as well. What God calls us to is beyond where we can take ourselves. So Hebrews 10:35, I want us to look at this. Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. You hear it's talking about confidence. What confidence are we talking about? For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Israel needed endurance in the wilderness. They needed to trust in God's faithfulness, even through the suffering, through the difficulties, through the trials, through the temptations. They needed to learn how to lean on God for their daily bread and their provision. If God had taken care of them and given them water from the rock, manna from heaven, and had revealed to them His great power in Egypt and the great deliverance by the blood of the Lamb out of that bondage, He brought them into a place they'd never been before. God wanted to teach them to trust Him. Are you hearing me? And to put their confidence that if God has brought me thus far, God will bring me all the way through. Amen. All I got to do is lean on Him, rely on Him, trust Him with my heart and not with my mind or my understanding. Because my mind sometimes says, God, what are you doing? Forget that. Amen. Get over yourself. Get over your opinion and believe God's heart is good. Why is it we blame God? You know why we blame God? Because we don't trust God. We blame God because we're in unbelief. I know it hurts. Anybody beside myself ever blame God for anything? Or why, God, didn't you do it this way? I would have done it that way. Oh, aren't you smart? The thing formed, saying to the one who made it. You know, if I were you. What is this confidence? Don't lose your confidence, your confident assurance. It's that God will do what He promised to do. My confidence in God's word, my confidence in God's ability to do the impossible, my confidence in God's ability to take me through this river. Amen. He didn't say you're not going through the river, but He says when you go through the river, I will be with you. My confidence that God will lead me home day by day, step by step. People get upset with God. They get angry with God because God didn't do things the way they thought He should. And sometimes we're tested and our minds go contrary to what God is doing. And we have to get beyond just being wise in our own understanding, according to Proverbs 3. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. In other words, I don't understand with my mind a lot of things that happen in life and why God does things a certain way. But I do know this: God is good. I trust God's heart. I know that God's going to produce something good out of whatever happens in my life. That God has promised in Romans 8:28 to work all things together for the good. He didn't say all things are good, but He said He'll work all things together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. So hopelessness is unbelief. When a person comes to a place where they say it's hopeless, they're no longer in faith. And where does faith come from? It comes from God. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So how do I get faith? If I'm dealing with hopelessness, how do I get faith? How do I get hope? Well, I come to the God of all hope. I get into the presence of the God of all hope. I soak in the presence of the God of all hope. Amen? I make Him my aspiration. I seek the God of all hope until I find. I'll claw my way through the crowd like the woman with the issue of blood. And so she could touch the hem of Jesus' garment and be healed. Everybody else said it's hopeless. You're going to die. You spent all your living. It's beyond hope. But she said, no, I just need to touch the God of all hope. I just need to touch Jesus. If I touch Jesus, it's going to be well. It's going to be well with my soul. Hallelujah. Listen to the day Jeremiah struggles here in Jeremiah 18:11. And God is saying, now therefore speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, everyone, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. What is he saying? Repent. Turn from your ways. Return to God. Start walking in his ways. Get out of self-confidence and get into Christ's confidence. Amen? And they said, listen, that it's hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans, and we will everyone obey the dictates of his evil heart. See, they did not believe that God would turn their situation around. So what did they do? So they turned their back on him. Hopelessness is unbelief. When a person comes to the place where they are in hopelessness, they're in a place of unbelief. And so the people said, it's beyond help. It's beyond hope. It's too far gone. How many have been believing for loved ones for a long time, believing that they will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus? You just keep on praying, keep on believing, because I've seen and you've seen others that have. Eventually they come to the Lord, amen, because you didn't give up hope. And whatever it is you're facing in your life, understand that you just need to get into the presence of the God of all hope, and hope will be birthed in your heart again. Amen. Hope will rise up in you again. Hallelujah. The God of all hope will give you the strength. Amen. To see beyond the temporary, to see beyond where you're at right now, and know that with God, all things are possible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Do we believe that? There's no reason why a child of God should be hopeless, except that we've departed from the Lord. This is what happened to Israel. Their hearts had departed from God. They went their own way. They said, it's hopeless. God is saying, if you return to me, there'll be healing. There'll be forgiveness. There'll be restoration. If you return to me, but they say, oh no, it's beyond that. It's too hopeless. It's too far gone. They didn't believe that God was good. They didn't believe that God would actually turn their situation around. So what do? They turn their back on him. The same thing happens today. The people find themselves in a place they've never been before. And if they're not careful, if they don't maintain a steady course with Jesus, keep on walking with God, stay close to his heart. Amen. If you don't learn how to get into his presence, then these things can rock your boat. Amen. These things can shipwreck you, the things of life. What God wants us to do is to grow deep roots in him. He doesn't want us to be cabbage heads. Amen. He doesn't want bottle rocket Christians that just go, woo, and then boom, it's over. He wants to grow oak trees. Amen. With deep roots that are able to endure the onslaught. Amen. Of the world that we live in and stand firm because they are rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus. Amen. And our roots will go deep into him who is the living waters. Amen? The fountain of living waters. So all sin is unbelief. Think about it. When a person sins against God, when they willfully sin, they're in unbelief. They don't believe God means what he says. The devil comes along and says, hey, you got away with it. Nothing happened. Nobody knew. Nobody saw. He gets you into unbelief. I mean, you know that all things are open and bare to the one to whom we're going to give an account. Everything God sees. Everything God knows. God knows who you really are. Not just our church face, but who we really are. Amen? And that's why we want to make sure our hearts are right with God. That we have humility before God and a repentant attitude. Amen. Towards him and say, God, I need your grace. I need your strength. Lord, I ask you to forgive me. Lord, cleanse me. Blot out that transgression and grant me the grace, Lord, to live for you. Because apart from you, I can't do it. I can't be the person you want me to be apart from you. I don't have it in myself to be holy or to be right. Again, it's of him and not of us. So I've got to divorce myself from relying upon myself to be a good Christian. Some people have learned how to be good Christians. Right? We can impress people. We can put on a good front. On the way in the church, you're just, you know, laying into your wife and letting her have it and backhanding your kids. And you get to church. Oh, praise the Lord, brother. How's it going today? Good to see you. How's it going? Oh, wonderful. See, anybody can act. I don't want to be an actor. I lived my life as a poser growing up. Amen. I want to be who I am in Christ and be authentic as a person. And you know what? We're all in this together and we should be able to say it's okay. All right. Where you're at right now, God knows. We're here to help each other through it. Amen. We're not here to kick you when you're down. We want to reach our hand out to you and help you up. It may be a time when we'll need that help. Amen. From somebody. And blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. So in Hebrews 3:15 it says, remember what it says today. When you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts, as Israel did when they rebelled. And who was it who rebelled against God, even though they heard his voice? Was it not the people Moses led out of Egypt? And who made God angry for 40 years? Wasn't it the people who sinned, whose corpses lay in the wilderness? And to whom was God speaking when he took an oath that they would never enter his rest? Wasn't it the people who disobeyed him? He's saying the people in the wilderness disobeyed him. So we see that because of their unbelief. Do you understand? Unbelief here is synonymous with disobedience. When I really believe God, I obey his voice. When I'm in faith, I trust his judgment. I trust his word when I'm in faith. When I'm in unbelief, I navigate by myself. Amen? Because, well, God didn't do what I thought he would do when he would do it, so I have to take it into my own hands and do it now. I didn't wait on God. Amen. For the miracle of God, maybe it's financial provision. God wants you to learn that he's going to be your provider. He's going to make a way for you. He may give you an instruction. Just follow his voice. He'll make a way for you where there didn't seem to be a way. But sometimes we say, well, I don't think God's hearing me. God's not going to answer me. That's unbelief. What we need to say is God always hears me. God is with me. God is for me. He's my Father. He's going to take care of my needs. And Father, I thank you. And I speak to God. I thank you, God, that you will take care of my needs. I'm going to trust you for this need. Hallelujah. And I refuse anything else that goes against that. That's not true to his nature, his character. God's going to take care of this. Believe and you will see. Oh, God, I guess you're not going to come through. I'll break out the plastic again. Buy now, cry later. What is hope? What is hope? Hope is the fruit of trusting God. When you are in faith, when you really believe God, you have hope. You cannot be in his presence and not have hope. I think a lot of us, we live outer court experience. Okay, we see the glory of God. We know the glory of God's over there. It's in there. It's in that secret place, that inner place. But I'm just content to be out here to get the goosebumps with some of the crowd. And I'll see you next week, maybe, if I make it. And God is calling you into his presence, into his heart of hearts. Go deep unto deep into God. And in that place, there's no fear. There's no worry. There's no shame. Are you hearing me? There's a confident assurance. There's a faith that rises up. There's a hope that rises up because God is the God of all hope. And when you're in His presence, you will have hope.
Yeah.
Draw near. Draw near. Shut off the boob tube. Do what you got to do. Get into His presence. Get into hope. He is our hope. He is our peace. He is our joy. He's all that we have need of. If you have Jesus, you have everything. Seek and you shall find. Well, I asked, nothing happened. Seek and you shall find. Draw near. Let God know, amen, that you mean business. That you're not just coming to a cosmic sugar daddy, gimme, 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 but God, I just want to get into your presence. I want to know you. I want to know your heart. I want to know your will for my life. I want to serve you and I want to bless you back for all that you've done in my life. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice for the rest of my days to honor you, God, to say thank you for all you've done for me, Jesus. I want to win others to Jesus. Amen. I want to make disciples for Jesus. Get into His presence and you'll find the peace. Oh, let me run over to the doctor and get some more pills. No, get into His presence. There is a peace that passes all understanding. It's greater than your mind, your intellect. It's a peace of God that will overcome, overwhelm even your mind. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is what? Stayed on thee. Hallelujah. That's old King James. King Jimmy. Do you understand? God wants our fellowship. He wants us to know and discover Him. And in that, God will reveal to you all His goodness and the destiny that He has for your life. He will begin to reveal to you the mission and the purpose for which you had been created and placed here. When you're in His presence, you will be quickened. You'll be regenerated. You'll be made alive. You'll become excited about the things of God. Amen. You want to give God praise when you're in His presence, when God touches your heart. Amen. As we were worshiping this morning, was God not touching hearts today? Was that just human emotion or was that the Holy Spirit moving upon people? All that emotional stuff. Woo! Got to get over ourselves, you know? I was always so conscious about what people thought about me when I was in the world. How about you? How I looked, how I was received, what people thought. Was I accepted or not by people? But then when Jesus came into my heart and my life, then that wasn't so important anymore. I wanted to know what God thought. I wanted to know His heart. I wanted to know His desires. Amen. And if people like me, that's great. But if they don't, it's not going to shake me. Why? Because I receive my validation from my Heavenly Father now. He's the one that approves me. Hallelujah. I don't care what anybody else thinks. If God says, get out of your seat and run around these aisles and dance like a fool, I'll do it. Hallelujah. When God moved upon King David, He just let it go, man. Come on, somebody. Let's not forget about what the Bible says. That's good theology right there. David danced before the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, that's not dancing, but, you know, it was an attempt. I can jump. But that's what God wants. He wants to get us over ourselves. Become children again in the court of our King. Hallelujah. You see, I get over myself, I can get into His presence. You start praying, it's all of a sudden these thoughts start coming. All this stuff. Oh, you didn't do enough. You didn't do good. You did that. You just keep on praising God. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm accepted in the Beloved. Thank you, God, that your blood avails for me. Lord, you said if I confess my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I thank you that you qualify me by your blood to come into your presence. And I thank you that all grace can abound, Lord God, through you. You are the strength of my life. Hallelujah. And that I have joy because you said I have joy. Because where Jesus is, there is joy. So if Jesus is my heart, I have the joy down in my heart. Amen. You need to believe what God says. Amen. And anything that's countering that, use the word against it. Hallelujah. If Christ is in you, here, you have joy already. So we have to tell our face once in a while, right? If Christ is in you, you have His love. You have peace. It's what you believe that will determine what you receive. And what you receive will determine how you live. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to believe the Word of God. And I find that my faith and hope and love come alive in His presence. That's what solves it right there, isn't it? Sometimes you just got to take time out even. Get your batteries recharged. You find yourself getting thin-skinned, you know what I'm saying? Losing your temper is because you're drifting away from Him who's self-control. He is your self-control. Draw near, and He'll draw near to you. Hallelujah. How many feel like, you know, I heard from the Lord this morning. Amen. I heard God speaking to me today. God is challenging me to go deeper. How many feel like there's something that's just burning within your spirit this morning, and God is drawing you and saying, come closer. Come closer. Come deeper. Amen. You start getting deeper into God, all those fleshly things that dominate and control in your life will break off. They'll lose their power. In the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. And His right hand are pleasures forevermore. God is pleasurable. God is delightful. That's why we get excited when we get to come together. Amen? Because we're exploring Him and discovering Him and being touched by Him. And He moves in our hearts and He quickens us. And sometimes we just want to do like David and dance before the Lord, because He's gotten us out of the place of self-confidence where my confidence is now in Him. I'm not self-focused, but my focus is on Him. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus, for that word. Thank You for the work You do. Thank You for allowing us to be vessels, Lord. Just clay jars. But God, we want all that You are. We want You. All I need is You. All I need is You. He's all I need. If I have Jesus, I have everything. Because everything belongs to Him. Everything belongs to Him. Oh, God of gods, You're my righteousness. You're my holiness. You're my redemption. You're my love, my joy, my peace, my goodness. You're faithful and true. That's who You are. Christ in me is the hope of glory. Hallelujah. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.